Leslie Brandt is the author of Psalms Now, in which he takes the traditional collection of the 150 Psalms and paraphrases them in contemporary language. Psalm 29 is what is called a psalm of ascription. It recognizes specifically the beauty of the earth, God's power in the sweep of the ocean, the wind and the rain, the lightning and thunder. It attributes everything to God. And I choose to believe that within that everything is the entire repertoire of all that calls for us to be thankful. Brandt takes the traditional words and converts the otherwise complex narrative to convincing simplicity. And he says, we need to give credit to whom credit is due. God is alive and God deserves our perpetual praise. There is a reason for rejoicing. There is a God to worship and love. Well, I'm aware that the last statement has become increasingly debated. So let me digress for a moment and say that however we might understand or interpret the concept of God as a being, as a source, or the better part of what resides within us, it is to this entity that we register our thanksgiving. So we have come together on this day, which is especially designated for the purpose of rejoicing, and even more so to share in an intentional act of thanksgiving. Our liturgy, our music, scripture and prayers this morning have been crafted to make the act of thanksgiving the focal point of our service. Whereas this day prompts us to pause and give thanks, I am reminded that whenever we meet in this sanctuary for worship, we do so in the spirit of thanksgiving to express gratitude for God's abundant blessings, which are ours. Both of the selected scripture passages today relate to the harvest gathered from the land. In Proverbs 3, we are called to honor God with our substance and with the first fruits of all our produce. In Exodus, we are told that we should bring to the house of God the choicest of the first fruits of our ground. These verses suggest that these actions have a positive effect on our own well-being. Our barns will be filled with plenty, and our vats with wine. Over the years, I have heard these reasonings used to good effect to raise awareness of stewardship in the church, although that is not my intention today. But I do suggest to you that the emphasis on first and choicest fruits implies that whatever the nature of the things and all the gifts that we bring to God should be from our very best. I don't think that is redundant theology. It is a concept which by extension means that such gifts should come from what we have rather than what we have left. Yes, you might say that is a clever spin on scripture to encourage and promote giving. However, I believe that this is sound thinking and advice. So often in the context of thanksgiving, we become the beneficiaries of our actions. In the language of harvest, we will reap what we sow. In the last few years, you may have experienced what is called paying forward. I recall one day lining up for coffee in Tim's, and when I came to pay for my coffee, I was told that the customer in front of me had already done so. It was a good feeling. And so without hesitation, I did the same for the stranger next in line. Gratitude begets gratitude. I find it interesting that there is an increasing focus and study being done on the subject of gratitude and thanksgiving. Mary Jo Leddy is a Canadian writer, speaker, theologian, and social activist. As the founder of Romero House here in Toronto, Mary Jo is known for her work with refugees. Her latest book with the title Radical Gratitude has been described as follows: a meditation on the miracle of every day and a guide to discovering what is most real in oneself. According to Leddy, that process leads to radical gratitude that allows the spirit to soar and experience a great paradox, that being, the freer one becomes, the more one appreciates the earthly things that give joy and become the path to greater authenticity. Leddy goes on to say, and I quote, "In radical gratitude, the vicious dissatisfaction with life is broken. We begin to recognize what we have rather than what we don't. We awaken to another way of being. Appreciating what we have been given provides more real satisfaction than endless cravings for more." In summary, Mary Jo Leddy invites us to imagine gratitude as the most radical attitude to living life. I would add that the greater authenticity of which he speaks can be described, amongst other ways, as a healthy well-being. Because we are fully cognizant of our inner self, with its hopes and desires for well-being and wholeness, Leddy's invitation is most attractive. To remove some of the complexity and the clutter from our lives is clearly a healthy objective, and to use the phrase, to travel light, has its appeal. No doubt you've had, as I have, the experience when after packing your personal belongings for a trip, it doesn't take long after you have commenced your travels that you say to yourself, why did I bring all these just-in-case items? And so I certainly admire those who can take an extended trip with simply one piece of carry-on. And there are those that actually do that. This past week, those of you who subscribe to the United Church Observer should have received the October edition. It was particularly helpful to me as I prepared this reflection in that one of the feature articles was by the Reverend Tricia Elliott of Ottawa. The title was so timely, The Gratitude Effect, with the subtitle, "We all know that giving thanks is integral to Christianity, but new science reveals the far-reaching benefits of expressing appreciation." Elliott introduces us to the work of Robert Emmons, a professor of psychology at the University of California. Emmons, now considered the world's leading specialist on gratitude, has been studying this subject for 15 years. He had been invited to a scientific conference and told to become the expert on the subject. Emmons observes that, "I began conducting research right away because at the time there wasn't any. It was the best assignment I was ever given." He reminisces, "Now I am compelled by the power of this force to heal, energize, and change lives. Well, some of you will be familiar with authors who over the years have provided inspirational resources on the subject of gratitude and related feelings. Sarah Ban Breathnach, whose first book was entitled Simple Abundance, A Day Book of Comfort and Joy. She reminded us of the need to be thankful, not just for the sake of it, but more so for the correlation between a sense of gratitude and a sense of well-being. What Breathnach's writings seek to do is to remind us of the need to be thankful, especially for the simple things in our lives, which bring us happiness and contentment. What I call the chicken soup quartet of authors Canfield, Hanson, Aubrey, and Mitchell have been dishing out chicken soup for an increasing number of hungry souls. Of interest is that the stated objective of this extensive series is to open the heart and rekindle the spirit. Literally, millions of copies of these books have been sold, and I would venture to say that many of you have either given or received a copy, a serving of chicken soup. Many of these stories resonate with us and do indeed open our hearts and rekindle our spirits. We become tender, or we see how deadly serious we sometimes take ourselves. What intrigues me is the popularity of such literature, and I believe the answer lies in its simplicity and humanness. Stories, some simply amusing and others deeply profound, give rise to an inner response. This prompts me to pose a question that I often contemplate myself. To what extent does the Christian way of life, the teachings of Jesus, our sacramental life, our worship rituals, our prayers, the singing of hymns of praise and thanksgiving serve to open our hearts and rekindle our spirits? Do these practices still speak to and encourage us? I don't expect you to answer that question this morning, but I would ask you to take it with you and reflect upon it in your quiet time. When we as Christians accept the declaration attributed to Jesus that he came into this world so that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly, how does this look like in our everyday lives? Does it show? And does it cause us to want to share this experience with others? I believe that abundance comes with this responsibility, which is described in a verse from the Gospel of John, one of several which we call the I am statements found in that Gospel. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The metaphor is clear, as is its imperative. As branches, we reach out to others to share our gifts, our joy, and our lives, the very fruits of our being. Well, a quick glance through the pages of Chicken Soup for the Christian Soul reaffirms how quickly our hearts can indeed be opened and our spirits rekindled. Something within us resonates, or we become tender, or we see how deadly serious we sometimes take ourselves and are led to look on the lighter side of life. As we have shared in worship this morning, I am keenly aware that the upbeat nature of this message may be of little consolation for those of our community who are facing difficult circumstances, those who are suffering illness, anxiety, the loneliness of being away from family at this Thanksgiving time, and some are facing the first Thanksgiving meal with an empty place at the table. Now, I could quote the Apostle Paul's words to the Philippian church, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances." But to be perfectly frank, whereas these words are often offered up and intended to be of encouragement, I have to say that for me, they can be hollow words. The caution being that they can have more of the effect of putting salt in an existing wound. And so today, as a community of faith, we reach out to those who cannot express gratitude and surround them with love, compassion, and understanding. We are told that of all the many character traits, gratitude has the strongest correlation to life satisfaction. Just savor that for a moment, that reality. Gratitude has the strongest correlation to life satisfaction. And so on this day of Thanksgiving, to reiterate the words of Leslie Brandt's paraphrase of Psalm 29, let us give credit to the one to whom credit is due. There is a God to worship and love. Amen.